this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live.
Yeah, okay. Are you out of your mind? What are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. This one we like to call hashtag SmackMyPicksUp. This one, of course, Lord Dana likes to stress, ladies and gentlemen, these cards are not for us. And this one is definitely not for us. Let's get into it, though. UFC Fight Night 157 coming at us from China, UFC China. Again, like I said at the top, ladies and gentlemen, this one going off at about, I believe, 3 o'clock in the morning mountain time. So that makes it about 5 o'clock. Particular fight cards on ESPN Plus, maybe catch them in the morning. We are down one of the fighting four this evening. Unfortunately, Pam has not called in. Maybe life has gotten in the way. But let's go ahead and get into it and give you guys the details of this weekend's fight card. UFC Fight Night 157, Andrade versus Zhang, also known as UFC on ESPN Plus 15, will take place on August 31st, 2019 at the Shenzhen Universiade Sports Center Arena in Shenzhen, Guangdong, China.
See? How difficult is that? My English, he even cannot see three words. Chinese.
All right, so what we're going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because the card is a little thin, we're going to do the main event. The co-main event, we'll cover those two for you. And then we're going to do a little bit of AMP Radio Rewind. And if we have time at the end, since there's only the three of us, just the three of us, we can make it if we try, DJ Tony. We will get into a little bit of news and notes because there is a little bit of news and notes that have gone down this week. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's go throw to the big boss man himself. Of course, my name is Proteus. I almost forgot again. I'll be with you all night. Let's throw to the big boss, man. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ! Yes, yes. DJ! Yes, yes.
Coming at you, Proteus. I was getting so ready for UFC China that I drove all the way to San Francisco, not realizing I wouldn't be back in time to do the show. My bad. My apologies, Proteus. Thanks to you, we're back on track with fortune cookies in hand. I kid you not.
Yes, and of course, consistency is key. I know this card is a little bit less than interesting, but I thought, you know, we all like MMA, and there's lots of MMA to talk about, but I digress. Since we don't have the First Lady of AMP Radio here this evening, that's right, the life of the party, we're going to go deep, deep to the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. Dude, so I'm going to start by sending a super big shout-out to Anthony Lionheart-Smith, making his SiriusXM MMA Tonight debut as a host yesterday. He did awesome.
Wow.
So, you know, shout-outs to Anthony Langhans. I had to call and congratulate him because cool, you know. A long time ago in the galaxy, far, far away, he graced us with his presence here on Rinky Dinky and Radio. So you know, I had to do it. But, hey.
Absolutely.
Let's talk some Chinese MMA.
Absolutely. Does that mean we have to do it backwards? I hope not. Anyway, because they're on the other side of the world. I digress. Let's go ahead and get into it, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned, cue that music, DJ Tony. All right, let's start from the top and work our way down. Of course, I said we would start with the main event. Of course, Jessica Andrade being the champion, DJ Tony, making her debut, not on pay-per-view, in North America. No, sir. She's making her debut on ESPN Plus against Weilei Zhang from China. Marco, let's talk about that. Let's get your picks, but let's also talk about you know, what this kind of means for Jessica Andrade. Until this point, the strawweight champion has always defended their title on pay-per-view. So let's start with your pick first, Marco, and let me give you the odds before I talk too much and forget. Jessica Andrade right now, let me just refresh. Should we get the freshest odds on bestfightodds.com? Here they come right now. Jessica Andrade at a minus 170. Weili Zhang at a plus 150. Marco, go for it, brother. What
you
got?
Yeah, the odds are super close. And you know what? I want to address the fact that Andrade is not fighting in the United States or Brazil. Remember that she won the title in Brazil. Rosa Magalhães went all the way to Brazil on the pay-per-view to fight her, and she won there. So not too much to complain about not having home field advantage for this one. They're doing a solid to the UFC. You know, China is a big market. They got a lot of money invested. They just opened the UFC freaking their sports center something like that. They have
Performance Center, yeah.
Performance
Institute,
in
yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, they're doing that solid. I mean, this guy is not for us. This guy is for the Chinese market and the people in Asia because, you know, the 2 o'clock in the morning they start the prelims here on the true time zone, the central time zone. I'm going to watch the next day on UFC and ESPN Plus on the replay because I'm not getting up that freaking early just to watch the fights. You know, I'll get up, drink a cup of coffee, and take it, whatever. Look, Andrade, she's a powerhouse. You know, she got the slams. She's a little tank that could. But I did not like the way she looked against the Magalhães. She was losing that fight before she won it with the slam. She lost every single second of the fight before she won with the slam. If that slam never happened, we still would be talking about Rosa Magalhães being the champion. And Andrade, for better or for worse, struggled with Polish strikers. And this chick Yang, 19-1, by the way, you know, excellent record.
Yep.
She's a Chan So freaking master. She basically the Kung Lee art, you know. Kung Lee made Chan So really popular in the Strikeforce of the UFC. Well, that's what she's a master of, basically a ultra-qualified kickboxer. I'm going to go on a limb. I think they set up this fight for Yang to win because of the Chinese market. It's a very winnable fight for Yang. That's why the odds are so close. On a very small upset, I'm going to pick Yang. I think she's going to be able to stay on the outside, counterpunch Andrade. And the chick is strong, too. She's not easy to take down. She's not like a Namajunas that actually wants her to be taken down so she can do submissions. This chick is like a strong coach. She's also the equivalent of judo in China, a master on that, too. So I'm going to pick Yang on the upset. It's not going to be a knockout on this one. It's going to be like a unanimous decision, 48-47 for Yang, a new and first ever Chinese world champion. So there you go.
Yeah, and that's going to be really big for this market, right, Marco? I think that's kind of why they placed this particular fight at the top of this card, DJ Tony as well, to get a little bit of interest. Again, this fight card is not for the North American market at all, guys. I mean, and I think we should kind of get used to that. But DJ Tony, I digress. Same question is to you as well. Marco just mentioned, you know, a big fight perhaps for the Chinese fighter. I mean, first Chinese fighter in the UFC of all time, and of course would be a woman fighter. Big for the Chinese market. What you got here, and comments on all of the things that we've been speaking on.
What's funny is Marco gave us her record. He forgot to mention that's 19 straight wins. Weili Zhang, which is, I think, the way you pronounce it. I know it's spelled Zhang, but I think it's pronounced Zhang or Zhang. She actually is like a legitimate fighter, you guys, at 19-1, obviously. But, again, I'm sorry, Proteus. I'm going to have to take out the Inspector Gadget go-go arms and take out the microscope because I'm looking at she beat Tisha Torres, who's on a, what, five-fight losing streak or four-fight losing streak. She beat – well, yeah, that's true. But she did beat Jessica Aguilar and then beat another fighter that isn't, like, top rank. I don't know, man. I know that they want – obviously, this would be huge for the Chinese market. And Weili Zhang is a legit fighter. That's a lot to take on Jessica Andrade, you guys. That's a lot, let sure. alone in her home country. Now, mind you, Jessica Andrade has fought, what, last fought like 90 days ago, so it's not a lot of time for her. But, guys, I don't think – I could be wrong. I just don't think Weili Zhang can beat Jessica Andrade. I don't see it. So I'm picking Jessica Andrade via second round ground and pound TKO.
Andrade. Second round TKO. And of course, as we said, DJ Tony once again on the road. So you might hear a little bit of background noise. Our apologies. We're doing our best to be consistent for the listeners. Okay, so listen, like I was saying, guys, this is big. This is a big fight. I think this is a big fight card in general for the Asian market. DJ Tony, we were talking back and forth about 1FC, and you do believe that 1FC is doing it better in the Asian market. And, of course, they are. They're killing it out there in Asia. And, you know, they're the top dog. Go ahead, Marco.
So David Shapiro was on MMA Tonight. He's like a guy that lives 7 years in China. He's been like following the MMA progress in the, you know, Asian market. And most of the fighters on this card are born on a promotion called ROF in China. You know, like it's like their local big shock freaking promotion in China. So they're very well established Chinese fighters. And now, In comparison to the rest of the markets in freaking Asia, China is the freaking big 800-pound gorilla. So the way the UFC is doing it is right. They're putting recognizable Chinese fighters on the Chinese market, introducing them to the UFC. So you know, whatever you want to say about Wan, you know, Wan is doing great in Singapore, the Philippines, Malaysia. They haven't even been that well-known in freaking China. And the UFC is bringing all the freaking Chinese fighters that the Chinese public know and putting them on this card. So it's just a little bit of inside information. And by the way, another nugget David Shapiro put out, you know, the sport of MMA, it's been developing in China for the last 15 years, but they don't know MMA as MMA. They know it as UFC. Like you know, we say, you know, we're going to sit up something. They know MMA as UFC in China. That should tell you something.
Oh, absolutely. And I do believe that even when DJ Tony gave his pick that, you know, he was also alluding to the fact that, you know, the UFC is definitely trying to corner the Chinese market. And we've talked about that before when they've done cards in China. What's the island called? I can't remember right now. Marco, can you remember?
Macau.
That's right.
Macau.
Yeah, they used to do all the fights over
China
in Macau, and now
this is
exactly. So it's really big for the UFC, and again, I think that's why they're not concerned about us, Marco. And I think, you know, the North American market and the media is very much going, you know, what this doesn't mean anything to us. And again, I think this is the one true time. You know how many years we've been talking about it, Marco, and you know, the Lord Dana has said these cards aren't for us. I think this is the one true time we can actually go and say, you're right,
amen.
Lord Dana.
Amen.
This card
amen.
Is definitely not for us. One thing I didn't want to make a note of, I am concerned that the champion is defending her title in such a way. I hope that she is getting the kickbacks that she does deserve. Again, unless this is in pay-per-view in China, which I doubt it is, I doubt she's getting any pay-per-view points on her first defense. And, of course, Marco, as you said, a quick turnaround against here and a good fighter, like you both have mentioned, against Zhang. I apologize. I'm going to say it incorrectly this whole time because that's the way it's stuck in my head. And, of course, she's well built as well. She's a very, you know, strong girl. And like you guys said, she's a very talented fighter, and I think Jessica Andrade is definitely going to have her hands full here. If Zhang cannot defend against the wrestling game of Andrade, then we may see, you know, a few pickups and slams and takedowns. This one might be a boring fight for five rounds if Zhang is not able to keep Andrade off of her. But like you guys said, that Nami Yunus fight really showed us, you know, Andrade's the holes in her game. If you allow her to work her game, then she's going to dominate you. But if you can stay on the outside and punch her from distance, that's your key to victory. DJ Tony, I am also Marco. I am also going to agree with you, and I'm going to take Zhang here and you know, shocking the world here. Yeah, I think that she's going to be able to get it done. I think she's going to be able to get it done in the third round. By TKO. I'm going to take TKO on this one, guys. We still do not have Andrade's countrywoman on the line, so we're just going to continue on, guys. Let's go ahead and move to the co-main event. Cue that music, DJ Tony. To the lightweight division we go. Number 14, Easy Dos Santos against, again, China's own Li Jinglang. Again, Marco, this is going to be another, you know, top-notch fight in the welterweight division. But one thing I am concerned about, DJ Tony, is that Easy Dos Santos, of course, that's not his real name. That is a name given to him by our boys over there at the Co-Main Event podcast. But we're just going to call him Easy Dos Santos because it's easier. Get it? Alrighty. So let's go and throw to the odds real quick. DJ Tony, before I throw to you for your picks, Easy Dos Santos coming at us at a minus 290 right now. Marco and Li Jinglang at a plus 245. Guys, so, I mean, the odds makers, you know, not too sure what's going on in this one. But DJ Tony, let's go and throw to you because, as I said, you know, Easy Dos Santos here, he's on quite a long win streak in this welterweight division. Yes, he's only at number 14 in the division, but, I mean, what's he got to do, Marco, right? What does he have to do to get some respect? You know, gets a big win in his last fight. Now he's over in China. Maybe this is how they reward him, DJ Tony. That's what we've been saying, that maybe in the Chinese market, Easy Dos Santos is going to be popular from this welterweight bout. But let's throw to you, DJ Tony. What do you got going on here in the co-main event?
I love that nickname, Proteus. I'm not going to lie. We got to steal that nickname from the boys. Easy Dos Santos.
It's already stolen. It's already stolen.
Right? Elazio Zaleski Dos Santos. Come on! I like the Easy E better. Listen, this guy is on a seven-fight win streak. Very, very talented. The one thing about, you know, looking at Li Jinglang is the fact that he's kind of wild, right? I mean, he's like swings for the fences. I think he wants to make everything a brawl. Looking at his background, you guys, of who he fought, Zach Otto, who's like legit, right? But really, look at it. Look everybody else. It hasn't been anyone, Jake Matthews. I mean, not anyone that's at the level of Easy Dos Santos. I think he's extremely talented, Proteus. I think they both are. But I'm going with Easy E Dos Santos. I don't think he could submit Lee. Let's just say we go with, you know what? F it. Third round submission. Yep, third round when they're sweaty. Armbar. The one and only Easy E Dos Santos.
Yeah. He's definitely going to be called Easy E now. That's definitely it. And Marco, I'm looking down Easy E's record. Of course, his last fight was against Curtis Millander. He's got Sean Strickland on his record as a win. He's got Max Griffin on there as a win. He's got Lyman Good on there as a win. So Marco, I'm going to throw to you, and I'm going to pick last because who cares what I have to say. Even though I am the winningest champion of the year, but that's okay. Why don't you go ahead, Marco, and give us a pick?
So, look, Easy Dos Santos, let's run down a list of people. Kamaru Usman, A5 winning streak, champion. Colby Covington, A5 winning streak, interim champion and number one contender. Leon Edwards, 7-5 winning streak, number three contender in the world. Easy Dos Santos, 7-5 winning streak, and number 14. That is life is not fair. Dude. Life is definitely not fair. But I think Easy Dos Santos is the hottest. But I mean, Li Jianlian is a tough fighter, entertaining fighter. He goes for broke all the time. He's never on a boring fight. He can surprise you. You underestimate him. But I don't see Easy he was going to freaking do that. The guy is super, super talented. I think that they needed somebody out there good to freaking shine up as a common event. And give an entertaining fight. But I think he's a little bit better than Li Jianlian. He's going to be a little bit quicker, sleeker. And he's going to submit Leanne in the second round. It's going to be an entertaining fight until it's over. But I think Izzy is going to be able to take Leanne back, get that the hooks, get the rear naked choke, and be a winner by rear naked shot on the submission of the second round. So give me Izzy E. Dos Santos.
All right, got it. I think this is going to be a clean sweep on this one, guys. Like you said, Marco, life is definitely not fair for Izzy E. I think... I hope that if the cards turn out, you know, right for Eazy-E, that he's kind of in the log jam that is the top of the welterweight division right now. Of course, as you mentioned, you know, we're waiting for Usman to heal up. Apparently Covington's got that matchup whenever Usman is ready. I mean, but Usman was, you know, greatly injured, right? He's got a lot of mending to do until and he's kind of he's kind of up in the air, Marco, right, when the next we're going to see him fight. So like you said,
November
life is
second,
not fair in this welterweight
already,
division
already confirmed November 2nd.
Okay, I'll believe it when it happens, Marco. I will believe it when it happens.
It's signed.
It could be signed all at once. Somebody could get injured. I mean, watch out for. I'm keeping my eye on Usman right now because he's coming back from a lot of injuries, and we know he's a tough dude, man. We know he is because he won that welterweight championship against Woodley. He was greatly injured. But again, I just don't want to see him rush back. It's good that we're moving along, and you say that it is confirmed, so I will take what I said back. And hopefully Eazy-E, if he does win this fight, gets himself shuttled right in there into maybe number one contendership, you know, a fight to fight for number one contendership. I'm also going to take Eazy-E. I'm going to take it a little bit differently than you guys are. I think that Lee is going to come out a little bit wild. Like you guys said, he's going to be throwing for the fences. I think Eazy-E is going to take that time, step back a bit, not get sucked into that brawl. And get this one done. I think second round TKO for me on this one as well, guys, for Eazy-E. All right, guys, if no one has any rebuttals, I will move on, but I'll give you a moment to speak up if you do.
No, too good.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into it, Marco. Why don't you throw us to Amp Radio Rewind.
Rewind.
Thank you, Marco. Of course, last weekend we were speaking of Bellator 225. Of course, we had a bit of a different structure to the show. We all picked our own individual fights on this fight card. Let me run it down for you. Marco had Matt Mitrione, of course. Matt Mitrione, of course, that's a pet name for him as well. That's a loss. Pam had Rickles. Of course, who also took a loss. Tony, you had Lara by submission in the second. I gave you the win. I gave you the point for Lara because she did win, but the submission in the second is not correct. And Proteus, I took Minakov. Of course, we had a bit of a change in the fight there, right, Marco? So Minakov kind of rolled over his opponent, TKO in the first, and I gave myself 2 points on that one. One for the win for Minakov and one for the TKO. So, again, Proteus taking down the win for this week, dethroning Tony from last week, who was, in a hard-fought battle, the champion. Maybe, DJ Tony, let's start with you. we're going to start with the main event, of course, Matt Matreon going out there and, you know, saying that he had mouth guard gate going on. I don't know, Marco. I don't know if I believe that, but we'll get to you in a second. We'll start with Tony on this one because you are the Bellator man. DJ Tony, what did you think about the main event? And did you put any stock into Matreon saying that his, you know, he had a new mouth guard, it kept falling out of his face, blah, blah, blah. What you got?
Well, here's the thing. I've never been hit by Sergey Karatonov, so I have no idea what that feels like, clearly. And if he did, I'd probably be on the floor in 2.5 seconds out for like a week. But I don't buy the – listen, Matt Matreon hasn't been Matt Matreon. I don't know how, and how – I mean, certainly not in Bellator, right? I think we expected a different Matt Matreon in Bellator. Maybe I had him winning the belt. That clearly didn't happen. But, man, it just looked like he was looking for a way out, Proteus. Again, my mouth guard, to be completely honest with you, history is very minimal at best. So I have no idea what that goes to. Through to get an actual mouthpiece that's molded to your mouth. I mean, it's pretty simple, guys. I mean, like, literally, you could fight with one, not joking, that you pick up, like, at a, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods and just warm it up in boiling water and form it to your mouth. I have no idea, man, but to me, Proteus, it looked like he gave up. Like, I don't think he wanted any part of that fight.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Matt Matreon has a world of excuses after his losses quite recently. And, of course, DJ Tony, I've been quoted on this show a number of times and on the CME. To be honest with you, I did email in once. You know, I when Matreon moved over to Bellator, saying that, you know, Matreon has a great chance of being the champion over there. But, again, like you said, DJ Tony has not come out in the wash for Matreon that way. So, Marco, let's throw to you here, man, because you picked Matreon in this main event and, of course, didn't work out for him. And DJ Tony's saying that perhaps Matreon was looking for a way out here and it wasn't really a problem with the mouth guard, brother.
Look, I'm not the one to say that he was looking for a way out. I mean, he was fighting when he got knocked the hell out. So, it is what it is, man. I mean, my Matreon is 41 years old. To put it in perspective, you know, his record is 13-7. So, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, when he wins, he looks really good. But when he loses in devastating fashion, you know. And he's not going to evolve anymore. He's 41 years old, man. I mean, that is the finished product. He's not going to get any better. And he's probably going to start getting worse because age is going to start catching up with him. He got a new contract with Bellator, so he's going to be still fighting, and they're going to put him in a spotlight fights where, you know, he may look good. I mean, all the idea of him rematching Ryan Bader for the title, that's not going to happen. So he's going to be, yes, on feature fights, you know, with a name to try to look good. They probably put him against the winner of Nelson versus Frank Mir, something like that. You know what? Karitanov is a, I shouldn't know better, man. He's a freaking veteran of the game. Like, he's been a wrecking machine forever. I just picked Matreon because, you know, USA. But in retrospect, I saw the card, and 14 finishes and 14 fights, super entertaining. I don't know why Vitaly Minigor is not fighting Ryan Bader, because he decimated Timothy Johnson, man. That was just ugly, the way that he was just abusing the way he did Timothy Johnson, man. So, get me, Tali. Get away with Chuck Congdon. I'll get Minico fighting Bader. Good job for Nick Newell. No, sure enough, so, you know, he can still fight at a high level if he wants to. And Rickles, he went against a super, super prospect, man. And they put Rickles there to lose to this super prospect, so... There's not much to say about it. I mean, it's a 35, 14 finishes. Good card for a Bellator card. And every single favorite fighter on that card won. So that should tell you something. Bellator is going to Bellator, man.
For sure, Bellator is going to Bellator. But again, let me talk about real quickly about this Matreon Karatonov fight. look, I mean, we know who Haritanov is. He's been a veteran of this sport for a long period of time, and that's why I kind of took exception to Pam saying, you know, he's not as tough as where he comes from isn't as tough as where Khabib comes from. I mean, Haritanov does not need to show any of us that he's tough. We know that he's 30-7, dudes, okay? And he's been around in the game for a long period of time. Matt Mitrione, 13-7. Like you said, Marco, I think from now on, unless Matt Mitrione can put something together, he's going to be in those fights that you said, you know, showcase fights that we know the name. If whoever wins, like you said, against Frank Mir
Big country.
You tell me, I'll tell you right now. The big country, exactly. That's exactly where you want to put him. Maybe you want to put him against the loser, though, right, Marco? Because if he's just coming off a loss, you put him against the loser, maybe he looks good. You know,
he doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
Melzer is a 3-5 loser streak. Doesn't matter, whoever.
Yeah, they're all terrible. You're right. But let's go ahead and talk. Like you said, we talked a little bit about Nick Newell last week, Marco, and let's continue the conversation, because I was pointing out to you, is this really, really what we want for Nick Newell? Do we really want to see him? Like, again, we hear that he's on a one-fight contract with Bellator. He goes out there and demolishes the guy that they give to him. I just think, like we said last week, he deserves a little bit more. I did hear the guys on the CMA talking this week about Nick Newell possibly getting into a tournament in the PFL where he could become a millionaire. I thought that was intriguing to me, perhaps kind of something that Nick Newell could win in the PFL. But again, I would like to see him again, Marco, in Bellator. What are your thoughts?
Look, Nick Newell had a history with Ray Sefo. I mean, they contracted the guy back on the WSF days. So it's not like like he'd be a stranger with the crew up there. And it could be a good thing for, especially being on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+. I mean, Nick Newell is a name.
Yep.
People recognize him. You know, he carries something. It would be a good game for the PFL. If Bellator is smart, they will try to get Nick Newell, but he might get lost on the DAZN ordeal, you know, because how many people are really watching DAZN, man? Maybe on the Paramount freaking fights, when he's on Paramount, so people can actually see him. Either way, I just wish Nick Newell to land in the best freaking situation for him, you know? For me personally, I think the PFL is a perfect fit, just because, you know, he got a history with the former, you know, with Ray Sefo and the former regime of the WSOF. It will be a much, much better fit. And I think that tournament is a former will suit him well, man. You know? Bellator will be okay. And they will matchmaking well, too. But I don't know if they will actually, you know, push him all the way to the front, you know, to fight the Chandlers or the freaking Pitbulls. I don't think the Bellator will want to do that. I don't think they got it on them, you know. They will just put him in showcase fights. In the PFL, all he has to do is win and he'll get to the top. So I will say PFL is a much better fit.
DJ Tony, I listened back to the show. We kind of had a conversation, maybe a heated conversation about Nick Newell. And I thought maybe this is a talking point for us, especially since you're a Bellator guy. I mean, they kind of buried Nick Newell down on the prelims, like Marco said. And he looked really good in his fight. But is this what you want to see for Nick Newell? Do you want to see him? Sorry, we're getting some background noise.
Sorry.
Do you want to see him, in Bellator again,
or
do you want to see him in the PFL? That's okay.
Here's the thing, guys. If Nick Newell really wants to fight, have him fight in an organization where he's appreciated. Whether that's like you guys said, the PFL or Bellator. Listen, this guy can legitimately fight, right? It's a feel good story as well because he does have an impairment. But Nick Newell is a legit fighter. Is he championship material? Probably not, let alone at this age. But listen, be with a company that's going to appreciate you. Be with someone that's actually going to think you're a decent fighter or at least compensated properly. So I say stay with Bellator if that's something that's listen, go where you're going to get paid and we'll go where you're going to be happy. I think that's what Nick Newell should do.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that intrigued me about this was that Bellator, again, only signed him for one fight. I think if you're going to show interest, Marco, in a fighter, you sign him for more than one fight. He did look impressive. So perhaps, if, like you said, Bellator is smart, they do sign Nick Newell. But again, I think that PFL may be calling. Like you said, DJ Tony, he's not. I don't think Nick Newell is necessarily championship material. But in the PFL, against the competition that's there, he has a very good chance of doing very well. Let me just one second, Tony, if you could just put yourself on mute because like there's a little bit of background noise again.
Oh, that's not
what
me.
I was saying
that's
is
not
I
me.
Would...
I've been on mute
entire
time. That one was
no
not
problem.
Me. Sorry.
No problem. Thank you for letting me know. I wanted to shout out, like you guys said, Marco, like you said, 14 fights, 14 finishes. I wanted to shout out the quickest submission in Bellator history, of course, going to Avi Ganzoli. I mean, what a creative way to win. Maybe not the most exciting or fan-friendly way to win, but definitely the most smart way to win. Jiu-jitsu all the way. Marco, you got a comment?
A Manuri roll to a heel hook? Oh, come on, what is not to like about that? 11-second submission? I don't know, man. That is like a 5-second knockout, man. You're not going to get a faster submission than that. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty dynamite. I mean, I saw, you know, some back and forth about it, but, you know, as a lover of the ground game, DJ Tony, I just thought that maybe Avi was going home with a large bunch of carpet burn on his knees. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. You talk about carpet burns, right? Because I literally just had I'm not joking. I literally just had, Pam knows this, I had my first BJJ class, which is something I've been talking to you. I mean, I haven't done it in like five or probably longer, maybe 7 or 8 years, maybe. And even then, it was one of those things where I'm on and off. Dude, you put a gi on, even if you're on mat, you're going to get carpet burns. So this guy, man, I was tapping every 2 seconds on my first one too, right? But I'm not a professional fighter. What he did with that leg lock or knee, whatever the heck it was, phenomenal, guys. Like Marco said, 11 seconds. This guy's a badass.
Yeah, definitely is a heel hook, of course. Or sorry, definitely is a badass. Yes, definitely was a heel hook, of course. We know that the Israeli fighters in MMA are quite tough. We've seen that in the UFC as well. Okay, guys, let's move on because we are swiftly running out of time. But
it's
I did
all
promise
that
you guys.
My guy, man.
Yeah, it definitely is. Has he been taking lessons from Steven Seagal?
He does Aikido. No,
Sensei Crickets.
He's Aikido, not Krav Maga. And whatever Steven Seagal says,
I know.
Is bullshit.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, joke ruined. Let's move right along to a little bit of news and notes. DJ Tony, cue the what's going on out here. Drop. Let's move to it, okay, guys? And let's talk about, again, I think, exactly. Thank you, Al. Ally Quinta getting us getting a little heated with us. Let's go into what I think is the biggest news, Marco, that we talked about. And, of course, Marco threw out a couple of news topics that we could talk about at the end of the show here. So let's go ahead and get into it, Marco. As you mentioned off-air, Errol Hawani getting a 45-minute interview with the dumbass, who is Conor McGregor. Go ahead, Marco. I don't want to talk about it, so you go ahead.
So we got a 45-minute interview with a little bit of a mea culpa from Mr. Conor McGregor because of the incident with the 50-year-old man that he's sucker punched after he didn't want to drink his whiskey.
Look, in April, by the way.
In April, by the way, you know, like 5 months ago. But the only reason he's doing this is because his proper 12 sales are going down, probably. It's no good for his brand. It's actually hurting him in the pocket, and it's a real, real bad look. Nobody, and I mean nobody, came on the defense of Conor McGregor this time. And it's the fourth time that he's been caught on video doing something stupid. like jumping the Bellator cage, throwing the dolly on the bus, freaking the cell phone incident, and now this. And this is kind of unforgivable, man. Everybody's giving the old guy props because he took the punch like a champ, you know? And he's gonna get sued. He's gonna be paying that man a good chunk of $600 million money, you know. Like probably it's gonna cost you like a mail just to keep this old man happy. Whatever. And I think he calls everybody and their mother about fighting. I am sick and tired of just listening to him, you know, like say he's gonna fight. When I see you in the cage fighting, then you can talk to me again, Conor. Because I'm sick and tired of it. And no, you don't deserve to fight Khabib, because Khabib freaking owned you the last time. And Nate Diaz is going to fight with Masvidal. So fight the likes of Justin Gaethje. Fight the likes of Donald Cerrone. Fight the likes of freaking Tony Ferguson. You know, let's see how you're doing that. If you win that, you will earn a little bit of respect. Just a little bit of respect back. But keep it on the cage, man. And get your head out of your freaking ass, because you're looking like a fool, and you're making us look like a fool because we have to put up with your shit. That's all I have to say.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what Conor McGregor would have said in his heyday, which he did say. But as Marco had mentioned, DJ Tony, I think that the stock is definitely lowering since we have not seen Conor McGregor in years in the octagon. Of course, he has been obviously enjoying the fruits of his labor with the Proper 12 sales, of course, with the suit sales. Anything other than getting in the cage and actually fighting someone, DJ Tony, as Marco alluded to. And, of course, it seems like the mainstream media is finally getting on board with what I've been saying for a long period of time. Conor McGregor, either get in the octagon and fight, or in MMA, of course. So, you know, the last fight against Khabib was, like you said, Marco, embarrassing. But DJ Tony, let's go ahead and throw to you because, as I said, I've been talking about it already too much. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Here's the tough part, guys, because as you guys know, I kind of have been a Conor McGregor apologist.
No.
I'm certainly the biggest Conor McGregor fan of the bunch. There's no doubt about it. But the problem is.
Don't you tell me. Oh, really? I know.
But you know what? Here's the thing, you guys. I can't defend him any longer because everything he does is wrong. I don't know if the rumors are right, you know, about him being on other substances. He sure acts a little strange sometimes. Listen, the only way to get into our good graces again, not that he needs to. To be frank, I'll just be honest with you guys. I'm not sure he ever fights again. Because I think it's going to be him getting in the way of himself. Shout out to Hitch on that, to the movie Hitch. But I think he gets in his own way. Whether or not he'll actually get his act together and make it happen, we'll find out. He's saying the right things, if you believe it, right? And there were critics, including, of course, your boy, Luke Thomas, really going at, not directly Ariel Helwani, but going at the fact that these interviews are bullcrap. I don't know, guys. I don't think he fights again because I think he's going to keep getting in his way, and he's making him living, not fighting. So I don't think he ever comes back, you guys.
The paycheck is really big.
So let me give my thoughts real quick. One, we're all sick of these apologies, not only from Conor McGregor, but from all major athletes that give these fake, false, apologies, John Jones included. I mean, we've heard them from other people before. We've heard it from Dana White before. You know, this is a guy, Dana White, who has used all kinds of terrible language, whether it be homophobic, whether it be sexist. We've all forgotten about it. This guy is prominently on ESPN now. Of course, you get Conor McGregor, one of the blue chip prospects, or not prospects, but blue chip people for the UFC, he's going to draw eyeballs. Is anybody going to remember what Conor McGregor said in, 2 weeks? No one's going to remember that. The news cycle is just so quick. And I think, Marco, like you said, perhaps his Proper 12 stock is going down. I don't think so, man. I think then the people who love Conor McGregor are going to love Conor McGregor no matter what, because that's exactly it. He's got that brash style, and yes, who was the first one to say Conor McGregor was on cocaine? Yeah, me. Absolutely. When he threw that dolly, when he trespassed in MSG, I said it right then. This dude is got some problems. He's definitely, I mean, not only, Marco, what you said, the infractions that you said, there's a sexual assault out there that we're not talking about that has
well noted,
not been resolved,
yeah.
as far as I know. Yep. So, I mean, his behavior is deplorable. It has been. I don't like him. I don't want to be talking about him, but the only reason we are is because you brought it up. So
I
salute you for bringing it up. I salute you for bringing it up, and it's something we just definitely needed to talk about, but I just don't like him. Go for it.
Okay, just to be fair, I do not know if he does cocaine. There is no reason to believe he does cocaine, but it's very well documented that he likes his whiskey.
He's definitely doing cocaine.
It's very well noticed that he lost his whiskey. He even got a whiskey brand. Yeah. He loves to drink alcohol. And you know,
he is
alcohol,
Irish.
Yeah, alcohol may you make very, very bad judgment calls, man. So he might not be a drug addict, but he might be an alcoholic. So either
I tell
way,
you what, like, Marco, on a 5 to 7 hour flight from Dublin to New York, if he was drinking alcohol that whole time, that's a lot of whiskey. I tell you what, it's a lot of cocaine as well, but you know what? You can definitely do a lot more cocaine than you can whiskey. I rest my case. Anyways, let's move right along to the next subject, Marco, that you brought up. Of course, we are hearing that Anthony Rumble Johnson has put himself back into the USADA testing pool. As we were talking off air, Marco, I said, I'm a little concerned about them non-audit supplements with Mr. Rumble. But let's go ahead and hear from you, brother.
So the Golden Snitch and USADA are going to be looking really, really hard to make sure that Mr. Johnson there, Mr. Rumble, doesn't have any Mexican supplements on his system. But he's tipping the scale at 275 pounds right now. He is Ubering when he was Ubering. I'm excited. I want to see Rumble as a heavyweight. He's a natural knockout artist. He was arguably the third best light heavyweight before he retired 3 years ago, you know, behind John Jones and Daniel Cormier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so imagine this freaking behemoth of a man now. I don't care about Anthony Johnson versus Daniel Cormier. I don't care about Anthony Johnson versus Steve Miocic. I want to see him against Francis Ngannou. That'll be a freaking USC Avengers and a freaking DC Comics all together. Two freaking monsters of a man. The superhero likes going at each other, throwing nuclear bombs at each other. That is a fight to make, man. Rumble Johnson as a heavyweight in the USC is a good thing for everybody. Entertaining as hell, and you know that somebody's head's going to fly around their shoulders. Ngannou versus Rumble. I'm gonna wish it. I'm gonna will it. If you build it, it will come. Make it happen.
Yeah, DJ Tony. I mean, that's very exciting. A fight in the heavyweight division. But I think maybe Francis Ngannou has a date with the championship next. Okay, let's talk about Rumble getting back into the.
No. Ngannou Rumble is the ultimate event of this year's debate. How happy will that car be?
You're right. If DC decides to come back, you're right. That's the next fight. Yeah, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. I'd be 100% down, DJ Doty. But I think
how tall are we forgetting how tall Rumble Johnson is?
Yeah,
you
might be right.
He was in 170.
Yeah,
we're putting him up.
Let's talk about Mark Hunt. He's not a very tall guy. Mike,
Gustafsson, and Gustafsson is like taller than a giraffe. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like a
okay, so let's get it back on track real quick. Let's get it back on track real quick, Tony. So Rumble Johnson needs to clear, I think, 6 months of USADA testing, if I'm not mistaken, Marco. Because is it four? I'm not sure if it's four if he was retired. Is that true?
It's 4 months. I I've been reading about
okay.
it. I mean, 4 months.
Okay.
So he should be eligible to fly by the end of the year.
Perfect. So we put him on the New Year's card, DJ Tony, with Cormier, with the Cormier Miocic 3 fight. Boom. And Marco has his wish for New Year's Eve. What do you got going on here? Rumble Johnson getting back in the testing pool, man, and thinking he wants to return, and we assume probably at heavyweight.
You guys do remember that he was suspended, right, before he retired, right, by USADA. And now we think, I didn't know that he had gotten up to 270-some-odd pounds until Marco and Proteus brought this up. Guys, I said this before we did the show because we always do a show before the show. I don't think he's going to be able to pass, man, with all the CBD stuff, the competitive body, whatever the heck he's doing. I'd be surprised if he passed, you guys.
Okay, yeah, I mean, again, I am concerned about the non-Onnit supplements. But again, as Marco had alluded to, he's back into it. So they're going to test him. They're going to test him randomly. And
okay.
We'll go from there.
He's not stupid. He was planning this like about, let's say, 8 months ago. He was cleaning himself up before putting his stomach on the testing pool. So, yeah, the guy's still thinking about a sneaker. I mean, he looked like a freaking... The mountain of Game of Thrones doesn't look as good as he does right now.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's move on to the last topic in the news section that we have, of course. And we've got another unfortunate video coming out. BJ Penn, of course, is out in the nightclubs running wild. Marco, and apparently picking fights with just about anybody. In this particular video, we see him hit the floor pretty hard from a left hook. What you got, brother?
First of all, isn't he supposed to be able to find a quarry not too long from now? I mean, if there's any commission up there that is worth mentioning, then they should not license the Japan because, I mean, the guy's going into a... This is the thing, like 6 weeks ago, he was fighting a bouncer in a strip club. 6 weeks ago, there was a video of him. And now, in less than 24 hours, we get 2 videos of 2 different bar fights. And on one of them, he's getting knocked out cold. Mind you, he never been knocked out cold on his professional fighting career. At 40 years old, man, and it's not even sad anymore. I mean, people are not even, they're making fun of him now. They're mocking him, dude.
Yeah.
On the commentaries on TMC, it is ugly. I don't know. This guy needs help. He doesn't need to be fighting. He needs help. But how are you, the fuck are you going to help a guy that was born in a rich family that basically owned Hilo, Hawaii, that has got surrounded by yes men and enablers, and all his whole life they have told you that he's the greatest. And all he knows, besides being rich, is fighting. And I think that... For all intents and purposes, came easy for him. And the guy gets his black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in 3 years, and then he goes and go win the world championship. The first American to ever do it. To win the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world championship after doing Jiu-Jitsu for 3 years. That's how good this guy was.
Yep.
And then he becomes the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. The second guy to ever have 2 freaking belts at the same time in 2 different weight classes. And now he's a freaking shell of himself. And getting him fight some bars and getting knocked out by a nobody in Hawaii? Something is definitely wrong, dude. I mean, this guy needs psychological help. I don't know what is wrong with the dude, but it is becoming a tragic story. And this is not the... It's only the beginning. It's going to end bad. And I mean, really, really bad. If somebody has to put a stop. And don't tell me that the UFC is being irresponsible while giving him fights. Because if it's not the UFC and they let him go, it's going to be Bellator, it's going to be ONE, it's going to be bare knuckle boxing championship. Somebody's going to pick him up because BJ Penn is a name. Don't you see Bellator would love to have BJ Penn and take him to Hawaii as a commander event for McFarlane, you know, and talking with a nobody there to step to see if BJ Penn can beat him? It is just ugly, dude. BJ Penn should have stayed retired. After he lost to Frankie Edgar, but he didn't. And it has looked worse and worse and worse every single time, and now videos are popping out, and all the allegations of domestic abuse, and the allegations of him, threatening his neighbors with machetes. It's going to get bad, man. Like I just said, if somebody doesn't do something, if he doesn't internalize it and realize it, and the substance abuse allegations and all this stuff, it is going to be a sad ending story, man. It's sad to see.
So the only thing I have to add to that, DJ Tony, is that CTE is a definite concern here, I think. It's good that he is separated from his family, I do believe, because of the assault charges. There is a restraining order, so hopefully that works. Speaking of Frankie Edgar, just on a side note, DJ Tony, before I throw to you, Frankie Edgar versus Conor McGregor, would watch. Tony, what you got going on here? And you got any comment on BJ Penn, or can we just close the show?
Well, I'll speak on this really quickly. And by the way, shout out to Frankie Edgar.
Sir.
He actually does get the fight to McGregor, because I don't think that'll happen. Listen, I mean, we've been talking about CTE. I joke around that I might have some brain trauma. Marco is completely right. This guy has some major CTE, guys, because you talk about it all the time, the erratic behavior if he's not in fight camp, the alleged domestic violence, just the alleged behavior on a consistent basis, the massive weight gain last time he retired. I think he does have some CTE, and like Marco said, it's only the beginning.
Oh, for sure.
Not just for him, for many other fighters, because we haven't seen the end of the story or the end of the movie yet. But there's, I mean, he needs help, guys. There's no doubt about it. Hopefully he's done. Hopefully no one ever signs him again for his own good. But sadly, Marco's right. I think somebody would allow him to fight again.
All right, so before we throw to Marco, of course, next week, we'll see you next week because we're back in action. We've got an exciting card next week. But so next week, we'll recap everything that happened at UFC Fight Night 157. Of course, next week, we'll do Smack My Picks Up for UFC 242. The big one, Khabib versus Poirier. Marco, get us out of here for this week, brother.
So since nobody get like a Twitter of the week or shout out of the week, I got nothing for you guys this week, you know? The Contender Series ended just last night. It was an entertaining closing of the event, you know? And it was great till the new Ultimate Fighter class in October. Follow Tony and I at DJ Tony. Follow Produce and Produce. Follow me at Maldonado. Shout out to Pan at Pandora Box, you know? We meet you today, Pan. Follow the show at another MMA cast, rate and review us. We're on Google Play, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. Fight this weekend in China. If you want to wake up that early, good for you. Or watch it later on ESPN Plus. Don't really care. This fight is not for us. We're going to need you guys. Catch you guys this week. Enjoy the fights.
And just like that, DJ Tony.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.